was some big news last week that slipped through my news crack. And it concerns someone I've admired for years and yet surprisingly is not me. I'm talking about David Letterman, who last Thursday night announced his retirement. And I am going to miss this good man.
That, of course, is Stephen Colbert on the Colbert Report last night on the day that it was announced that he is going to be replacing David Letterman as host of The Late Show. Just part of a string of changes in late night TV this year. Joining us now to talk about all of it is NPR TV critic Eric Deggans. Eric, welcome back.
Hey, glad to be here.
Well, and the big question that everyone has been asking, and you have been asked already today, is Stephen Colbert going to be Stephen Colbert of the Colbert Report, which it sounds like he's not. It's going to be the real Stephen Colbert that we don't really know that much about. Before we get your answer here, I want to play a clip of Colbert talking in character to Robert Siegel on All Things Considered back when he started the Colbert Report.
You know, I think it's pretty obvious the Daily Show is just a tool of the liberal elite. You know, we're gonna actually get into some truth and some issues that I think they're afraid to deal with.
So you're going to be the tougher end of the...
I just think John's been co-opted by the media. He's too much of a darling these days to really stick it to the rest of the industry.
He's the most trusted man in broadcasting, they say.
Well, so was Cronkite.
Yes.
I think I've made my point.
Eric, which Stephen Colbert are we going to see on The Late Show?
Well, if you believe what he's told the New York Times, we are going to see the real Stephen Colbert, the actual guy. But what's interesting is I've watched several clips now online of Colbert playing this fake conservative guy and Colbert being himself. And really, Colbert being himself is just he's a little more laid back. He's a little more less energetic and he doesn't crack as many jokes. That's the big difference. So I really think that when Stephen Colbert takes over The Late Show and is telling jokes and is energetic and is entertaining people, there's not going to be that much difference between the fake character that he played on The Colbert Report and the entertainer who's going to inhabit The Late Show.
And I know there have been some questions about whether the new Late Show is going to be in New York, where it is now, or in L.A., which just lost the Tonight Show to New York after many decades. Do we know any more about that?
We don't. We just have people making informed guesses, which is that neither CBS nor Colbert have indicated any desire for him to leave New York. It wouldn't make a whole lot of sense for them to move the show, particularly since Craig Ferguson, the guy who airs right after Colbert, is kind of a question mark. We don't really know if he's going to stay in that job at 12:30, and his show is in Los Angeles.
Okay, I'm glad you brought up Craig Ferguson, because what this leaves us with right now, depending on what happens with Craig Ferguson, is five shows in late night and all five hosted by white guys.
Imagine that. You know, yeah. It's like I think the problem is that they are hiring hosts that look like their target audience in a way. They're trying to capture young males with these shows. And so they're hiring hosts who are just slightly older versions, or in some cases a little older versions of the target audience they're trying to get to watch the show.
Why are they trying to go after young males?
There's a sense in the TV industry that daytime programming is the province of middle-aged women and late-night programming is the province of young males. It's odd. You know, young males are considered lucrative by the television industry because they don't watch a lot of television. So in a weird way, it's like a restaurant taking customers who come in the place every day and seating them next to the bathroom and treating the people who only come once a month to the best seat in the house. It's sort of a backwards way of doing things.
We're speaking with NPR TV critic Eric Deggans, and you're listening to Here and Now. And Eric, let's talk about some of the people that we are already seeing on Late Night, some of the new faces, and starting with Seth Meyers, who's taken over Late Night on NBC. Here he is in his previous role on Saturday Night Live.
Justin Bieber, who was arrested Thursday for drunk driving and drag racing, reportedly asked officers, "What did I do and why did you stop me?" Which will go down in history as the first sentence Bieber didn't begin and end with, "Girl."
And here he is on Late Night.
I was surprised by this. A court in Boston ruled that taking unsolicited upskirt photos of strangers does not violate Massachusetts Peeping Tom law. Hurrah! Shouted the creepy guy at work before he pretended it was a sneeze and left the room.
Eric, how is Seth Meyers doing? I have heard criticism that he's kind of sticking to what he knows, which is making jokes about the news.
In terms of ratings, he's doing just fine. He's beating his competition, which is primarily Craig Ferguson on CBS, and he is holding on to a good portion of the people who watch Jimmy Fallon on The Tonight Show, which is also doing very well. So by that yardstick, I'm sure NBC is very pleased. But as a critic, when I watch the show, I have a sense that he hasn't yet figured out a voice that's separate from the voice that he used when he was on Saturday Night Live. But as I said, he's doing well in the ratings, so I'm sure NBC is happy, but he's really going to have to find a voice that's different than what we saw him do on SNL.
Well, one late night host that is doing very much the same thing that he did in his previous incarnation is Jimmy Fallon, who has essentially taken late night and moved it to The Tonight Show at 11:30 Eastern time. I say 11:30 Eastern time, by the way, because I grew up in the Midwest where these shows start at 10:30. So I do want to give a nod to that. Some people get to see him a little earlier. Let's listen to Jimmy Fallon here doing a bit with Anne Hathaway.
Go, 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 shorty. It's your birthday. We're going to party like it's your birthday.
We're going to sip a Bacardi like it's your birthday. And we don't give a f- it's not your birthday.
No, we don't. Not at all. Happy birthday.
You know, he's going with a lot of stuff that can go viral online. I almost wonder if Jimmy Fallon is playing to the audience online rather than the audience on TV.
Well, Jimmy Fallon and his competition, Jimmy Kimmel on ABC, have both had very strong online presences and have always used viral videos to stoke interest in their shows. And in fact, you know, I'm surprised that it's taken this long, but now we've reached a point where part of the way you measure the success of a late night show is by looking at how successful it is at generating viral video conversation in the social media sphere. And so that's one of the things people look at Stephen Colbert and they say, well, will he be able to do that? Because as great as the Colbert Report show was, it didn't have a strong viral presence outside of a few really special bits that he did that really made an impact. So it's been interesting to see media critics and people who watch this space suddenly take a look at, well, you know, how many viral videos is Fallon creating? How many viral videos is Kimmel creating? How many followers or subscribers do they have on their YouTube channels and things like that? Metrics that, of course, Johnny Carson and David Letterman and Jay Leno never really had to deal with.
Yeah.
But what happens is those videos are very good advertisements for the show, and they do also kind of tell people, if you want to know what people will be talking about tomorrow, if you want to see the video that people are going to be sharing the next day on Facebook and on Twitter, then maybe you should watch the show when it airs.
NPR TV critic Eric Deggans talking with us about all the shakeup in late night TV. Eric, thanks as always.
Thanks for having me.